in, and we do trust that the Lord will bless you on the Lord's Day. We trust that in your home you'll know much of his presence, and personally in your heart that you will be encouraged and strengthened as you spend time considering the Word of God today. I want to give a special welcome to everyone from Achillea congregation, and of course we do give a very warm welcome to all others as well who are listening to us, to those who are listening in sermon audio, as well as those who are watching the Facebook message. We do trust that the Lord will continue to keep his hand upon the congregation during these strange days that we're living in. We do thank him for answered prayer even during the past week. And we had a very good prayer meeting as a congregation on Zoom on Wednesday evening. In fact, it was excellent. And we do trust that the Lord will continue to hear our cry and that he will answer for us. We do want to encourage you to listen in again tonight, and we will have a message up for the evening time, and then we trust that the Lord will bless his word to your heart then. Also, just a couple of other announcements. Please do remember on Wednesday evening, our Zoom prayer meeting, we give to each of you in the congregation a very warm welcome to that, and to some of our friends as well who have the ID code and the password there to get in. We do trust that as many as possible will join with us, and we'll share a word together from Habakkuk again, and then we will get down and seek the Lord together in prayer. There's plenty to ask for, and yet there's so much to be thankful for, and we do trust that the Lord in his mercy will visit our province soon, and that very shortly there will be an improvement, a big improvement regarding the pandemic, that things will even out with the children for school, and that we'll be able to get back into our buildings comfortably again and safely and enjoy our fellowship together. We do trust you well today, and we do thank you for joining. We're just going to have a brief word of prayer now and commit ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we do thank thee again today for thy goodness, for thy hand which is ever giving to us. Thank you, Lord, that it's not only a giving hand, but it is a guarding hand. And Lord, we acknowledge thy presence with us. Thank you for keeping us safe from dangers, seen or unseen. And Lord, we pray for every family connected to the work in Achillea at this time, that God might continue to meet every need, that he might give joy and gladness, Lord, in days of darkness. And Father, we thank thee for thy word, which is continually a lamp to our feet. It's continually a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. And Father, we pray that you would be pleased to use it every day to lead us on and to help us, Lord, as God the Holy Spirit would conform us to the image of Christ. Lord, may we all, from the youngest to the most senior person, know the blessing of going on with the Lord. We do ask at this time for those who are unwell, some who have been recovering now for a while, and others who, even in recent times, have had to face surgery. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in all of this. And we pray that you continue to deal in our country. We acknowledge, Lord, that we don't deserve anything from God but wrath. But Lord, we pray that you'd be pleased to pour out your Spirit upon us again, and that there might be a great time of genuine revival blessing and a true lasting peace that is based upon the Word of God, and that there might be truth and righteousness reigning in our country and nation once again. Again, today we ask for those who have been shut in for a time now. The Lord would especially draw near to them, for those who are downcast and sorrowful, that the Lord would be that balm to their soul. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I ask you to turn, please, in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 8. I'll give you just a second or two to turn that passage up. It is Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, going to read a few verses at the start and then read on down a few verses just further down. So we're reading in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Now, if we go down then to verse 11, it says, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And ye shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offence to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word this morning to all of our hearts. We do turn your attention this morning in particular to verse 17 there that we have read together. It says, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. It is agreed among many of the Bible commentators that there probably had been about one year of an interval separating chapter 7 and chapter 8 in the book of Isaiah. And in that interval, much had happened. And much had happened that seemed to, in some ways, in the eyes of men anyway, it seemed to discredit the prophet's earlier words, things that he had spoken to the people concerning the Lord and the Lord's dealing with his people. If you look in chapter 7 there, the attack of Rezin and Rechab in chapter 7, this attack had inflicted an almost irreparable blow upon Judah. So now Isaiah is dealing with people who are weary, they're feeling broken, and in some ways they do not see a better day ahead. It seemed to them that the prospect of a better experience and a better day was a very slim thing. There are some people thinking like that today. But it's very important for Christians to be optimistic and to always remember who the Lord is and remember that he is always working out his ultimate purpose, however dark the day might be in this nation or in any other nation. What was Isaiah to do then as this attack had come upon Judah and the blow had been so bitter that things seemed to be irreparable? Was he to shrink back and to confess to the people, well, maybe I have erred in the things that I have said? No, he wasn't to do any of that. He was to repeat all that he had said. He was to do it even more definitely than ever he had done it. If you look there in verse 1, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll. Or the word roll there literally refers to a large tablet, and write in it with a man's pen. He was not to use fine writing paper or the little instrument, the pen or the brush that was used by an artist, but he was to get a large tablet, and he was to write using a man's pen, referring to that instrument that was used commonly by those who wrote upon signs. Of course, the purpose was that all of those who were gazing at the message, as they would go by, that if possible, that they might fix their gaze upon the message that he was delivering. And if we go right on down there to verse 16 in this chapter, there's words that are very important. It says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. He really is referring here, when he talks about the testimony and the law, to the revelation of the mind of God. And they're told here to bind it up. And really, if you look at verse 16, they're to bind up the truth that is found in God's word. They're to keep it safe and to seal it and to not let it go. And therefore, they are to bind up the word of God by their obedience, and in future days by their transmission of the truths that are there to their prosperity. The words there where we read to bind up, it really refers to something with which there is no adding or diminishing. Seal it up. Take it as it is. Make sure it stays that way, not just for yourself, but for those who are coming after you as well. They were to ascertain the truths and the duties, and they were to very carefully take them and lay them up, bind them up, and seal them up, and keep them. And then it was after that that Isaiah says the words there in our text today, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And I want, as I look with this text, at this text with you just for a while today, to consider, first of all, well, I should say, to consider a message that we have entitled Prayerful Expectation in a Barren Time. It was a barren time for those who were associated with Isaiah, but there was to be in their heart an attitude of prayer and also an attitude of expectation. And I want just this morning to share some thoughts with you. I want you to first of all to notice that there was little manifestation. Some of the words there that are found in that verse, it says there, the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. In every age, there have always been those times when it seems that God's face and his favor is withdrawn in some way or in some degree. These days that we're living in, they're not new days. God's people have always lived through periods like this when God's favor and face seems in some degree to be withdrawn. And those days can be very challenging for Christians. And they can cause a lot of soul searching, and they should do. But we, first of all, when we think of days of little manifestation, we love to read about revival, of course, and to think about multitudes being saved. And maybe some of the people listening today can remember gospel campaigns, and there were many people saved there. And God's people were greatly blessed and encouraged, and the work seemed to go from strength to strength. A great interest in attending church and prayer meetings, and everything seemed to be going well. Maybe you can remember that, but many can't, because these things have not really been happening much in recent times. And if we look there in the Psalm 44, we're going to look here just briefly at some reasons for this little manifestation. And that's important for us, even in these days in our own land, when there are not great multitudes being saved. We're thankful for the ones and twos that we're hearing about in answer to prayer. But we long for those days when there's a real outpouring of the Spirit of God and a real opening of hearts and a real giving of attention to the teaching of the gospel. But if we look there in the Psalm 44, it says there in verse 20, and the writer here is talking, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. The psalmist here is saying, Lord, search me But then he says down in verse 24, he says, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Now, the writer here, all through this psalm, or through the vast majority of it, yes, he's been remembering what God did. If you look at verse 1, we've heard what thou didst to our fathers. They have told us how you worked greatly in times of old. And those are nice memories, but they're not really suffice for today. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, what have I done? What's happening here? I don't really understand it. But, you know, really, when you look at that Psalm 44, when it says there, wherefore hidest thy face, we have to conclude that it was God's sovereign purpose. And sometimes that is the case. It is God's sovereign purpose as God Almighty to withdraw his favour, or to hide his face, as it were, from his own people in a degree and for a time. So sometimes when there's little manifestation of God's blessing, it may be his sovereign purpose, but sometimes it can be, and this is heart-searching for all of God's people everywhere, it can be because of secret sin. Over there in the book of Joshua, there was one man who, and the blame could largely be laid at his door for what had happened with Israel. His name is Achan. And Achan, in verse 21 of Joshua chapter 7, he's confessing that he saw the goodly Babylonian garment and the 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold and the 50 shekels weight. Then he says, I coveted them. That was bad enough. But then he took them. That was very bad. And then it says, behold, they are hid in the earth. And it seems that no one, or certainly very few others, seemed to know. And there he was. He was just marching along as though everything was as it should be. And yet this one man, folks, Achan is his name, this one man with his secret sin that literally was hidden in the earth. Remember that all of this began because he saw. He says there in verse 21, when I saw the spoils, and then he details what they were and what he did with them. And he exposes to us something of what was going through his mind at that time. But his sight, you might say, was the vehicle that led to the very good progress of an entire nation, knowing God's blessing and God's provision and joy in their hearts and obstacles being dealt with. Achan's sight of this which he coveted, then stole and then hid, his sight was the vehicle that led to that good progress grinding practically to a halt. And that's just how serious secret sin is. As I said before to you, you come to the church in Ogilvie, I can be anything in the pulpit or on a Sunday, and then be a totally different man the rest of the week with my family. Or I can live a double life. I don't, but I could. And we could be full of secret sin. And I can never read Joshua chapter 7 without thinking of the awful seriousness of secret sin. You could say concerning that chapter that Achan hid the face of God. It was Achan's behavior that led to God turning away, and they couldn't progress, and they couldn't stand, the Bible tells us in that chapter. They were defeated at Ai. Now, there were other reasons involved there as well for their defeat, but ultimately they had sinned. And folks, therefore, when there's little manifestation days like these, remember, it may be that it is God's sovereign purpose, and we have to accept that. And we just keep praying for days of revival and keep being thankful for the mercy drops that the Lord shows to us individually and as congregations as well. It may be God's sovereign purpose, but it may be secret sin. There's something else that I want to draw your attention to. Sometimes people can become sidetracked over there in the book of Jeremiah, and it's chapter 5, Jeremiah and chapter 5. If you just give me a second here, please. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 5, it says, "But this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." Those are serious words. Serious words to ponder. Then it says in verse 25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things," that is, good things, "and your sins have withholden good things from you." Your sins have withholden good things from you. It says in verse 23 that these people have revolted and that they have turned away. But now if you take a look again there in verse 25, it is showing it to us that their turning away has led to good things being withholden from them. Again, it's very serious. Let's make sure we're not sanctuary. Is there not plenty in 2020, brethren and sisters, that can sidetrack you and me? Plenty that can take us away from continuing to give the Lord our allegiance and continuing to give him preeminence in our lives. And to give him that place which he deserves and which he is entitled to. But there will be much that will be an allurement to God's people, a temptation to be sidetracked. And when we're sidetracked, well, the verse was very evident. Because of that, good things have been withholden. It certainly gives us food for thought. It makes me look at my heart, as the other thoughts do. The thought certainly of secret sin, the thought of being sidetracked. Down through the centuries, sometimes the church has been sidetracked. And she has what we call apostatized. And she's fallen away. And when that happens, she's turned from the word. And all kinds of error can creep in. And then, given a few years, she's hardly recognizable as a gospel witness at all. So much has been diluted. And so much can be changed. Let's make sure it doesn't happen. Certainly we as a denomination are not perfect. But let's hold fast the things which we have, the things which remain. So whenever there is little manifestation, it can be in God's sovereign purpose, it can be because of secret sin, it can be because the church or God's people in general, I'm speaking here of the great body of people that make up the evangelical church, they can be sidetracked, but also it can be selfishness. You don't like facing up to that word, but we all know about it. Because it is in our nature to be selfish. And over in Haggai, in the first chapter there, you will read about people who, they said it wasn't time to do the Lord's work, and yet they lived in sealed houses. Nothing wrong with having a lovely property, and all the best to you, and I mean that, if you're able to have a nice building of your own, nice home of your own. But they had these sealed houses to the detriment of God's cause. And twice in that chapter 1 of Haggai, they're told to consider their ways. It really means, literally, to consider their hearts. Therefore, and they did that. Thankfully, you can read in that book that they did that, and they turned to the Lord when they were spoken to. And maybe today, as we see a little manifestation of God's good, but God's power, that's what we want to see. The salvation of the lost and the building up of his church. We know he is building his church. But there's little manifestation. It may be because of selfishness. There's no revival at the moment, but every believer is aware that there is little manifestation of the power of God. I ask the question, is God speaking to his church during this pandemic? And is he drawing our thoughts and our hearts as well, in a new way, towards him, or out after him, perhaps exposing in some way why his face in a measure has been turned away. I want to be honest with the Lord myself, and I know, and I trust that everyone listening will want to do that as well. Think of the words of the hymn, where it says, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." There'll never be a better time than now for any of us to do just that. So as we look here at the words of Isaiah, there is the thought of little manifestation. Now, he wants a better day. He wants a better day. He says here, "The Lord that hideth his face from us," but we don't leave it there. There's not only little manifestation. Encouragingly for me and for you, there is lofty occupation. You see what he says? He says, "I will wait upon the Lord." That is the very best thing that you and I can do. Now, I want to say, first of all, that we, as we wait upon the Lord, we wait prayerfully, but we wait constantly. And as we do that, it's so important that we wait with reverence. Let's look at what it says there in verse 13. It says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts." The word is something that we know is often used concerning us and how the Lord is sanctifying his own people and really drawing us more and more out after himself. But if I read for you what it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, it speaks to us there of sanctifying the Lord. I read verse 20, first of all. It says, "And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name." These were people that professed the Lord's name. And the word profaned there is derived from a word which means outside the temple. That which is unholy. That which is inappropriate, that which is not reverent. And the Lord here, he says he's going to take a dealing with them that have profaned his name. And at the end of verse 23 in that chapter 36 in Ezekiel, "I will be sanctified in you," or "set apart in you before their eyes," refers to wearing God's name like a garment. That's what you and I as his people today, we want to do. Our lofty occupation, as we wait for him and before him and with him, let's make sure that we do it so reverently. But we also wait not only reverently, but we wait with reassurance. Remember Psalm 73, where it seemed that so much was going well for those who hated the Lord and hated his cause. And this affected the writer, and he was downcast, and it nearly had consumed him. The fact that things were going so well for them, and maybe things didn't seem to be going so well for him. He said, "Until I went into the sanctuary." You can look there yourself. It may be verse 17. I'm not sure. But it says there, "Until he went into the sanctuary," until he got into the presence of God and got close to God and realized their end. Appearance can be deceptive. And everything seemed to be rosy for the enemies of truth. Hard for God's man. But then he was reassured. He was reassured as he waited before the Lord. And I hope you will be today too. That you and I, as we are involved in this lofty occupation, nothing better we can do than wait up before the Lord. Wait on him. Wait on him with reverence. Wait on him with reassurance. Wait on him with rejection. We want to make sure that we are not those who in any way are taking up with that which is fault. Look what it says, that is false. Look what it says in verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 8. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word." And then it says, "It is because there is no light in them." No light in them. Do you see the word light? That word light in the Hebrew, it literally means no morning. In other words, it's all night. They're children of darkness, and they have a message, but they're speaking not according to God's word, to the law, and to the testimony. Folks, let's make sure that we're not drawn after that which seems to be sensational and is purported to be life and movement of God, and they're speaking not according to this word. Because it's a cul-de-sac, and there's going to be no lasting joy there. Let's keep waiting. Let's keep waiting before the Lord. He will wait. We wait with reverence. We wait with reassurance. We wait with rejection. We're rejecting that which is false. Remember what it said in verse 20 there. But also wait before the Lord with renewed fortitude. It says in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the word wait there refers to waiting persistently and patiently until something, a certain thing, is performed. And that's what you and I are doing. We're waiting before the Lord on as he performs his purpose. And again, in a future day, sends days of refreshing and revival to this needy land of ours. So you and I are involved in this lofty occupation, but maybe you need strengthened. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word wait, as I said, it means to wait steadily for something to be effected. But it also says, shall renew their strength. That word renew means to be interwoven or to be entwined. It's saying those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And in doing that, in waiting upon the Lord and having their strength renewed, they are interwoven in the purpose and work of God. And that's a great thing for us to know. Good for you to know that today in your home. That as you wait before the Lord for that renewing of your strength, that you are interwoven in the greatest cause of all. Finally, it's good to be involved in this lofty occupation, resting. As King Asa did when he went out to confront the enemy, he said, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We're resting on the Lord today, Christian. Let's make sure that we involve ourselves in this lofty occupation. Yes, God's face and favour seems to be very little manifested today. Maybe I shouldn't say his favour, but certainly his power, as we think of it in the work of evangelism and the conversion of the lost. Not many wanting to listen, and very few turning to the Saviour. Let you and I be those who are involved in this lofty occupation of waiting, as Isaiah said he would do. But there's another thought here. There's not just the little manifestation that he was aware of and the lofty occupation that he was involved in, but there is the longing expectation. He says there in verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 8, and I will look for him. I will look for him. Let's not sink into defeatism and thinking that God's cause for some reason or other is finished, because it's not. Maybe I drew your attention, congregation in Galilee, to Job chapter 23, not very long ago, but I'm going to do it again right now for good reason. Job 23, you know that Job was enduring a good time of trial, and he did not sense the Lord's presence in the way that he felt he wanted to. And he said in verse 3 of Job 23, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. You'll see there the person that there is here with him. There's a person that he needs, that is the Lord. He wants to come before the Lord and to bring his cause before him. There is a place, that is the seat, of course. But he says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He's going to come before the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, if I could find your presence, I'm going to explain why you should show your face again. Why you should show your face again. And you will notice here that as he thinks of the Lord, and he says in verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. Christian, you may not feel that your prayers are going very far today. Maybe you don't even sense the Lord's presence, and you're very aware that his face is hid in some degree in our province at this time. But remember verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take, and he knows the way that you take. You see, there is priority here. In verse 12, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Let's continue to keep that a priority. But it says there is permanence here. It says, who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God's in control, working out his great purpose. Then there is here performing, verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And brethren and sisters, today, as we wait, let's uphold one another. Let's encourage one another. And let's wait, not in defeat, but let's wait victoriously and wait expectantly for the Lord to move again. The title today was Prayerful Expectation in a Barren Time. And may we wait prayerfully and expectantly in these days of barrenness. I trust the Lord will use what I've said to encourage your heart today.